Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. This particular passage is just one of many in the Old Testament that emphasize the necessity of thankfulness to the Lord. There are many other passages that talk about that. This in particular talks about entering into the gates to worship the Lord and being thankful and grateful for everything that the Lord has done and praising him for those particular things. This is not the only place, though, that we see thankfulness to the Lord being emphasized. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see him being thankful to the Lord. Throughout the epistles, we see the emphasis being placed upon thankfulness to the Lord in just about everything that we do. In fact, we're told in Romans, the first chapter, in verse 21, that the failure to be thankful is the very beginning of apostasy on the part of human beings who turned away from God in the beginning. For even though they knew God, it says, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Knowing the necessity of thankfulness to the Lord, it's been interesting how that our culture has been one that has recognized the importance of being thankful from time to time. And this last weekend has been one in which even our culture has a day of thanksgiving, this last Thursday, and a time in which people think about the blessings that they have and try to count them. It's very, very long standing in our history. In the days of the pilgrims, for example, in the first harvest that they had in 1621, there were 3 days of thanksgiving. There happened to be more Native Americans there than there were white people. But in the first Thanksgiving, they had all kinds of bounty from their hunting and from the crops that they grew. They had corn, no pumpkin pie, no cranberry sauce, no turkey. They apparently had a lot of fish, eels, mussels, swan. They did have swan. I guess the person who got the neck portion sure got a big piece with that one. But it was something that from those particular days you had from time to time, the colonies and the states would call upon people to recognize that first Thanksgiving and replicate it in American history. There were times that the government would call for a day of prayer and thanksgiving throughout its early history. But it wasn't until 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, that Abraham Lincoln made the fourth Thursday of November a regular holiday of thanksgiving for the American people. And except for a few years during the Franklin Roosevelt administration to try to stimulate the economy and have it on the third Thursday of November, which didn't work out very well, so they changed it back within just a few years. That fourth Thursday in November has been a day in which Americans have recognized the necessity of being thankful to the Lord in what he has given them. I want us to look this morning, though, at some of the things that the scriptures say about being thankful. We've seen in the 100th Psalm the importance of being thankful to Him. And as we enter into His gates, as we have the opportunity to worship, and the failure of people to get to turn to God when they refuse to be thankful. Some of the epistles, especially the book of Colossians, in my opinion, show a lot about thankfulness and the importance of it in the life of the average Christian. So I'd like us to look at a few passages in the book of Colossians this morning, so that hopefully by looking at these, by understanding what is involved, it might be able to help us during this time of year when we begin to think about the things that the Lord has done for us and begin to truly count our blessings. The Apostle Paul writes the book of Colossians when he is in prison. He writes to a congregation that he has not been intimately familiar with, except through Epaphras, who has apparently been the founder of that particular congregation. And because of that, he's very interested in them and hopes to be able to visit them one day. In Colossians, the very first chapter, in verse 3, he emphasizes the fact that even though he doesn't know most of them, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." I think it's important when we think about thankfulness that we remember to thank God for Christians that we know. Not just those that we worship with on a regular basis, although I think that is important. Sometimes it's easy for us to take our brothers and sisters for granted and to fail to recognize the important part that they're having in our growth and development. But I think it is important for us to thank God for those that are around us, that are helping us on the way to heaven, that worship with us on a regular basis. But also for Christians around the world, there are not only some 400 plus members that we worship with on a regular basis here. How often do they enter your prayers and your thankfulness for the Lord? But there are also men that we support around the world who are preaching the gospel under difficult circumstances. How often do they enter our prayers? And are we thankful to God for the good work that they do? It's something that I think is not just something that the Apostle Paul does as a courtesy to the Colossian brethren, but something that we need to consider and something that is important for us if we are going to have the lives of thanksgiving that we ought to have, not only this time of year, but all around the year as we think about other Christians. None of us are going to make it to heaven alone. There are going to be others that had influences on us that helped us in times when we needed encouragement, that helped us in terms of teaching us, that helped us in terms of guiding us in the way that we needed to be guided. There are important people that we need to thank in terms of those that lead us, our elders, and those that serve us, our deacons. It's important to make sure that those people are in our prayers, because if we don't, we're failing to follow a very important biblical example that we see here in the case of Paul, when he, even for brethren that he doesn't know as well as he does some of the others that he writes to, we see him being thankful to them in his prayers as he prays always for them. I think even praying sometimes for our brethren would be better than most of us do. But I think it's important for us to keep this idea in mind and make sure that as we live our lives, we make sure that thankfulness toward those that are around us and those that we have an association with through fellowship, that we keep those in mind as well. In the first chapter, in verses 11 and 12, we see again the idea of thankfulness expressed in Colossians, where he says, "Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. One of the greatest things that we have as Christians is the blessed hope of being able to be not only redeemed of our sins here in this life, but to be able to go home and be with the Lord one day. And that's a wonderful blessing. When you look at most of the people in the world, we see most of the people who the scriptures outline are lost because they haven't accepted Christ as their Lord by submitting to Him in obedience to the gospel. They don't live consistently with what the Lord would have them to do. And we need to recognize the wonderful blessing that we have by the circumstances in our lives allowing us to obey the gospel that washes our sins away. And, as it says right here, qualifies us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do we thank the Father for the hope that we have of heaven? Do we thank Him for the fact that our sins have been forgiven? I recognize that we continually ask for our sins to be forgiven, but do we praise Him and thank Him for having done that in the first place and made it possible for us to be able to spend our eternity with Him? Maybe it's a concept that's just so completely beyond our perception in this life and so completely beyond what we experience on a regular basis that it's hard for us to understand such love that would take sinners, people who had been involved in rebellion against the King, and be able to take us and because of the sacrifice of His Son, make it possible for us to be able to share with the inheritance of the saints in light. How can it be? I can't explain that, but I can explain from the Word of God that that's the way that it is. And we need to be people who are thankful to the Lord for the salvation that He makes available to us in Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of the book of Colossians, we see again the importance of thankfulness in many different areas in this new life that is pointed out for us as Christians. In verse 15, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Most people in this world don't live with peace in their hearts. Most people in this world live constantly troubled. But we need to be people who are able to live with peace in our hearts, and we need to be thankful for that because we know that the Lord is going to take care of us. Our physical blessings are blessings that are amazing, that are to be met at the level that they're met in this particular country. The very fact that when we talk about thanking the Lord for our food, we're not thanking Him for just something to keep body and soul together. We're thanking Him for an abundance of food that we have. When we talk about thanking Him for the clothes that we wear, we're talking about thanking Him for closets full of clothes that we can wear. As some of you know, because of some bariatric surgery that I've had since the 1st of September, I've lost about 60 pounds. And one of the things that's wonderful about that is I've been reintroduced to a whole lot of clothes that I used to wear that I haven't been able to wear in a long time. Otherwise, I'd be broke as a convict having to buy new clothes all the time. But that's one good thing about getting fat slowly over the course of time. Is it puts you in a situation to where as you back off, you can wind up having some things and think, you know, this is a new coat. I can wear it. It actually fits. It actually can be buttoned now. So, you know, we have closets full of clothes. We have an abundance of food that we have. The houses that we live in aren't tar paper shacks. The blessings that we have are so abundant when it comes to this world's blessings. We need to allow the peace of God to dwell in our hearts and never forget to be thankful for what we have. That's why we pray when we eat. It's because we recognize that our food didn't ultimately come from the fact that we were so resourceful and that we were just the right person for the right job. And we deserve every bit of food that we put in our mouth because, after all, we worked hard for it. Let me tell you, there are people in the world that work every bit as hard without as much return for their investment as ourselves. We need to recognize how the Lord has blessed this country, how He has blessed your family, how He has blessed you. And in spite of the difficulties that we face from time to time, our physical blessings just are far beyond the ability of most people in the world to imagine. When we go to Ethiopia every year or so, it's interesting that we don't really show them many pictures of our family, and we don't show them many pictures of our house or our car or other kinds of things like that that we drive, because we don't want to discourage these people. The very idea of their being able to have some of the things that we have is just amazing. It's beyond their comprehension that we could have the kinds of things that that we do. And yet, to show them those kinds of things would make them think that we were in heaven already, and we're not. Because their idea of heaven probably doesn't involve as much physical convenience as we have in the daily lives that we live. We have been so blessed, and it's important for us to make sure that as we live our lives, we do as verse 15 says, allow that peace to dwell in our hearts, the peace of security, and be thankful for what God has given us, not only of a spiritual, but also of a physical nature. In verse 16, it talks about, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with thankfulness, singing and making melody with one another, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's important for us to make sure that our worship is thankful worship. There are a lot of reasons why we worship God. One of the reasons is because He's our Creator. And if there was no provision He had ever made for our redemption, He would deserve our worship because He is our Creator. But yet the fact that the Lord has been so benevolent to us, not only in terms of physical blessings, but spiritual blessings, and has commanded us to come together on the first day of the week so that we might be able to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we might be able to sing songs of praises unto His name, as it talks about here, when we might be able to pray together, when we might be able to do those things that are important in our worship. It's important for us to worship and be thankful in our worship. Sometimes it's easy for worship to just become something we do by rote, to put our minds on in neutral and our mouths on autopilot and pray prayers that we don't really mean. It's easy to put our minds in neutral and our mouths on autopilot and sing songs whose words we really don't think about. It's easy for us when the preacher preaches or the Bible class is being taught, or even during prayers sometimes when we're not the one who's giving the prayer, to allow our minds to wander in just about everything else. I remember a sermon that used to be preached not uncommonly when I was just a lad. It was gone to church, miss the worship. And I'll tell you, a lot of people do that because, frankly, they're not concentrating on the thankfulness that needs to be shown on a regular basis when we come together to worship God. Do you realize what a privilege it is And so the 100th Psalm that we looked at, you remember it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. 4 times a year, all of the Israelite males would come before the Lord, and they would come before him with worship. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Feast of Weeks, which we call Pentecost, on the Feast of Booths, and on the Day of Atonement, all males were to present themselves before the Lord. And they came into the courts of the tabernacle and later on in the temple when it became a permanent structure. As they entered into those courts, they were to enter into those courts with thanksgiving and praise to the Lord who had put them where they were put because of the wonderful things that he had done for them, how he had been their God, and how he had blessed them in so many ways. We need to make sure that as we live our lives of worship, we don't get caught up in the day-to-day, in the mundane, but we really think about what's going on when we worship, and we make sure that thankfulness is an important part of what we do when we come to worship God. But in verse 17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We use this passage very often to emphasize the importance of following biblical authority. And I think that's important for us to understand. Just like we talk about stopping in the name of the law, meaning that the authority or the force of law is behind the policeman who's telling you to stop. It's important for us to understand that we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, not just saying his name as some sort of incantation over our worship, but what we do when we do it in word or deed, that we do it consistently with the authority of the Lord Jesus, making sure that he's pleased with the things that we do and that he's glorified with what we do. But you'll notice he also talks about giving thanks through him to God the Father. Do we live lives in which we are constantly thankful for what we did, what we have and what we have received, both physically and spiritually? It's important that we do, because a failure to do that, as we saw in Romans 1, is the very beginning of failing to honor God and failing to keep God in your knowledge. Unless we are truly thankful people for what God has given us, for what God has allowed us, for the fact that God has even allowed us to live in this country that we live in, then I'm afraid that we're on a downhill slide, both spiritually and as a country. Because we need to keep thinking about the important aspect of being thankful to the Lord for what he has done. And in everything that we do, in word or deed, we need to make sure that we continue that thankfulness before the Lord. When we try to teach our kids thankfulness, we start out with trying to teach them to be verbally thankful. And verbally thankful is very important. Kids learn how to say thank you before they really understand what thank you means. All right, what do you say? Thank you. And they go on from there. Probably with no sense of gratitude at all, but yet because mom and daddy have told them that when you receive something from somebody, you say thank you, that's what you do. And that's what they're told to do, and that's what good parents teach their kids to do. And that's a very important first step. But the second step means that we have to make sure that they actually feel grateful when they receive something from someone. That it's something that actually means something to them, and not just something that they say, but it's something that enters into their emotions and enters into their recognition of things so that they can do what is necessary to be able to show that gratitude for it, to truly feel grateful for what you have received and what you've done. But there's another step, and that is to where that gratitude is so important that you respond in the proper way to those who have given you something. That you not just say it, that you not just feel it, but you go on to be able to respond like gratitude does, by the praise and the glory that you give someone for having given you something that is wonderful. The response that you give to somebody who gives you something, which means that you're not going to be ugly to them, because after all, they have been kind and shown you a wonderful kindness. And that you praise what they have done, and you make sure that to the best of your ability, you can reciprocate. We need to make sure that as we live our lives as Christians, that we look at our opportunities to be grateful and show that gratitude in everything that we do and everything that we say. It's important to be thankful for those Christians round about us, and those Christians that we know about that are being supported around the world to be able to do what God would have them to do. It's important to make sure that as we live our lives, that we are grateful for everything that we have, and make sure that even when we think about the spiritual blessings that we have and the hope that we have as Christians, that we show gratitude in everything. For our physical blessings, we need to always be thankful. When we worship, we need to be thankful. But do you know, whatever we do in word or deed, we need to make sure that we do it consistently with the Lord's authority and consistent with an attitude of gratitude that would make sure that in everything we respond to a Lord who has done so much for us. I realize it's easy to say thank you, and some of our songs have words of gratitude in them. But I don't think that's enough. I think we need to feel grateful for what the Lord has done for us. But you know, I don't even know that that's enough. What we need to do is to go a step further and make sure that because the Lord has done great things for us, that we do our best to do great things in the Lord's service. That we follow Him, that we obey Him, that we serve Him, that we praise Him in everything that we can do. Because the very heart and core of our relationship with God rests on how we respond to the blessings that He has given us. Are we just going to be verbally grateful? Are we going to be emotionally grateful? Are we going to respond in gratitude? And that, to the large extent, that defines the kind of Christian life that we're going to live. Long, long time ago, in a place far, far away, God sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. He did it. Not because you deserve it, but because, or I deserve it, but because He decided that's what He wanted to do, because in contemplation of eternity without you and me there, He thought, I had to do something to make sure that these people can be forgiven. And He made that forgiveness available through the shedding of His Son's blood on the cross of Calvary. If you come in faith, if you show it through repentance, if you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can baptize you into Christ this morning so that you can leave this place washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you can be thankful for what God has done for you. But not just by saying it. You need to be someone who continues by understanding it and feeling what He has done for you, and respond to His wonderful offer by being someone who dedicates themselves constantly to His service, a service that's not hard, A service that's not difficult, but a service that's much easier than the yoke of sin that you once bore. Think about these things, and if we can help anyone as they make things right with their Lord this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the song selected.